Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Do you know if your firm is profitable? Do you know how much profit you're actually making? Do you know how much profit you should be making? Do you know how much you should be charging to make that profit? Well, you can learn how by downloading our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, right now at entrearchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 227, and this week I'm speaking with Henry Dominguez about financial investing for your future. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, ARCAD, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and much more at ARCAD.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work that you love. And Gusto. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. Henry Dominguez, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you here. Let me introduce you to our listeners here. Henry Dominguez completed a Bachelor of Psychology, not architecture, but a psychology, before obtaining his Master's of Architecture from the Southern California Institute of Architecture, SciArch, in Los Angeles, where he worked with distinguished professors, Hernan Diaz Alonso, Tom Wiscombe, Dwayne Euler, and other thought leaders in the profession. He is currently a designer at Neil M. Denari Architects. When I was in architecture school, Neil Denari was my inspiration. I loved what he was doing back in the 90s. I haven't really followed him much now, so I can't say that I know much about him, what he's doing now, but I want to talk about that a little bit. So you're part of that team, and he's developing strategies for how architects and design professionals can invest in themselves and not just their clients. His goal, basically, his really simple goal, is that he wants to help young architects and designers, and hopefully some of us more seasoned architects and designers, to be more successful and financially independent. Wouldn't that be nice? So, Henry, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here. Let's have a conversation before we dive into the subject of money and investing, and that's because that's what we want to talk about today. I want to know your origin story. So go back to wherever you want to start. Talk about how you became an architect and where you are today.
Sure. Mark, thanks for having me. So a little bit about my background. As you said, I have a bachelor's in psychology. And I think the reason why I chose that route was because I've had a natural interest in helping people. and solving problems. And for me, my family was involved in psychology, so it was a natural sort of decision to go into that. When I finished my degree, though, I did decide to go into wanted to go into a more creative route. And so when I started looking into things that I wanted to do for the rest of my life, architecture was one of those professions that looked really interesting to me. I did have some experience in high school doing some drafting, technical classes, and didn't really enjoy it that much, which I think is why I didn't do it right when I went into college. But when I saw the amount of creativity that can go into the profession, if you go to the right schools and you work with the right people, that was something that attracted me into getting into architecture.
Did you originally intend to be a psychologist? Was that the plan, or did you sort of just take that degree and see where it was going to go?
Not really. Like I said, my parents were in psychology. They have group homes. They worked with autistic children. Mm-hmm. So I was always around that sort of environment, and I think that's why it was on my radar.
So it made sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you discovered architecture after your psychology degree?
I was suggested, professor suggested that I get into architecture when I was taking a drawing class. Mm-hmm. And this was just based on maybe a little bit of talent drawing skill set.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went to a technical school while I was in high school, and that's basically when I decided I didn't like architecture because it wasn't creative enough. And I liked solving problems, you know, and like I said, I liked helping people. And so that's why I decided I would try out psychology.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened after you graduated from psychology?
Well, I decided that I would want to apply to a master's program in architecture. Mm-hmm. So I applied to SciArc in Los Angeles. That was in 2009. And I graduated from SciArc in 2012. And I've been in LA since. So it's been just under 10 years that I've been here working as an architect professionally. Just under six.
Are you licensed? Did you take the exam and all that yet?
I am not.
Yeah.
I had intentions on getting licensed. Right now, it's not something that I'm pursuing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see the value in it. I guess it's because I'm starting to gain more interest on the business side and the finance side, the investments and development side of architecture, which doesn't require a license.
Right, right. Yeah, and the only reason I ask is because people are always interested to know. Go on. So you graduated from SciArc.
Yep.
And Denari is actually involved in SciArc, right?
He was the director of the school for 5 years.
Right.
He isn't involved necessarily on a day-to-day, but he does go back. He's academically, he's very involved. He travels around the world and does lectures, all the time. He's still teaching. He was teaching at Rice just this last semester. I believe he'll be going back to UCLA at the end of the year, probably in the fall.
Now how long have you been there?
I just started this year. It was earlier in the year, in February.
So what are you doing there now?
I'm working on a couple projects, local projects in LA. It's an office building and a hotel. They're both on Adams, and basically Adams is getting a lot of work done to it. There's a lot of development there. And so we were working with some clients that have a few projects and have hired us to try to do a little bit more interesting work than what they're probably used to.
Yeah.
I was hired in because the office has actually been expanding quite a bit in the last year. The team has grown from five people, I believe it was five people last year, to about 15 people. Wow. Right now. Yeah,
that's pretty quick growth.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be at Neil's office, for sure.
What inspired that? Is he just sort of shifted his focus from education to practice? Is that sort of, because he's been practicing for a long time.
Yes.
He was a well-known architect in the 90s when I was in college. And so sort of what was the inspiration to start growing again?
I think he's changed his focus a little bit. You know, we're all very aware of the paper architect. A lot of the people that I've been involved with, especially in school, Hernan Diaz Alonso, Tom Wiscombe, they're known more as paper architects, being that they don't build very much. But Neil's interest has always been in building and in construction, and he thinks that way.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, I believe, focus more on those opportunities and get more work built.
And
starting with LA, since it's local.
Yeah, well, it'll be exciting to see his future as he ramps things up and does some of the built work. I was in the 90s, he was doing these like really mechanical looking machine. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. I haven't actually followed him. Like I said earlier, I haven't followed him recently, so I'm not sure he's still doing that type of work, but I'm sure it's creative and not traditional architecture.
Sure. Yeah. It's less mechanical, I would say, a little more graphic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking at your website because you're extremely creative. It's hddesignlab.com if anybody wants to go check it out. Really, really interesting work that you've done from a design
Thank
point
you.
Of view. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be able to work with really talented architects that work on interesting projects. So
yeah.
It's the reason why I've decided to stay in LA after graduation. Is because of the potential and the work that comes out of the city, so far it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good place to be if you're inspired by modern architecture and creativity, and so it's a good city to be in. But that's actually it's interesting because I want to get into why we're here. You and I bumped into each other on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is Invest by Design, and as an architect who is all about business and success, that inspired me and sort of interested me. And so I looked into it, and you're building a platform. You're very early on, but you're building a platform essentially to help architects learn how to be more financially successful and to sort of know what to do and how to invest in their financial success. And so what inspired you to do that? I mean, you're coming from psychology and into architecture and through SciArc and very creative. What inspired you to sort of focus on investing in financial success?
Yeah, I think that within finances, it's not typically looked at as a creative sort of a profession or process, but there's still some creativity there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the idea of being able to solve some of the financial problems was also interesting for me as a personal project that I wanted to do a little more research on. And it just seems like there isn't enough investment in ourselves within architecture, and we're also not spending enough time thinking about it. I know that a lot of us are very busy with our work, and the more design time you put into a project, the less time you can put into yourself, and also your profit margins. So it's a double hit because you don't have the financial freedom to invest, right? The extra money, but you also don't have the extra time. To spend researching. So I've been looking into how we sort of got here and where we are now and where we need to go moving forward as a profession. Because it doesn't look like we've progressed very much in terms of when you compare it to the rest of the economy. We're pretty far behind. And I think things definitely need to change, the way that we work and the way that we think about our work as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a big part of it is psychology, sort of separate from the fact that you have a background there. But I think a lot of the money question in architecture is this fear of money.
Yes.
And fear, mm-hmm. fear of not only, you know, of what to do with it. You know, once I have it, what do I do with it? How do I make it mm-hmm. grow? But the fear of actually earning it. You know, there's this yes. whole psychology that we, that it's an art and that it's not about the business and about the money end of it. My message mm-hmm. for years now has been, profit, then art. Build a profitable, mm-hmm. thriving, successful business that will support yes. your art, and you'll have a lot more fun to go build the architecture that you want to build.
Absolutely.
And I know that you have a similar philosophy in terms of that. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, Arcat, FreshBooks, and Gusto. For years, when I needed information on manufacturers' products, I headed straight to Google. And then I sifted through the hundreds of results to find the one or two that might be the link to the product that I'm looking for. And more often than not, the link was not what I was seeking. It was either outdated or it didn't meet my requirements. So I went back to the search engine and I started all over again. This could take all afternoon to find the two or the three products that I needed. Sound familiar? There is a better way. Arcat. A-R-C-A-T. Arcat.com. Find what you're looking for in seconds. Building product information, BIM, CAD, and custom specifications using their exclusive tool, SpecWizard. And keep it all online in one place using their cloud-based project organization tool, Charette. So make Arcat a part of your efficient project workflow. Just type entrearchitect.com/Arcat into your internet browser and add it to your favorites. And then visit Arcat for every project. Find what you need fast and make more money on every project. entrearchitect.com/Arcat. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. And getting started with FreshBooks is ridiculously easy. Most people send their first invoice seconds after starting their free trial. The same goes for tracking time, managing expenses, collaborating with contractors, and viewing financial reports. Fast, easy, maybe even life-changing. And if you need help at any time, free award-winning customer service is just a phone call or an email away. And if you have ever had second thoughts, don't worry. On top of our free trial for Entree Architect listeners, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you don't ever have to worry about choosing FreshBooks. So give FreshBooks a try. It's free for 30 days. Just visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks and then let them know that we sent you by sharing Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to access your free 30-day trial today. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations, and old-school payroll providers just aren't built for the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get it right. No longer do you have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. And to help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free. Once you run a first payroll, 3 months free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto. That is entrearchitect.com/gusto, G-U-S-T-O, and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing today. Arcat, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. What can we do? What are some of the steps that we should take as a profession and as individual small firm architects to sort of refocus ourselves on building a more successful you?
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of us, and I know I was this way myself, when I first graduated, I was not aware of what where my money was going. And I wasn't aware of how much I was spending on clothes, on food, or even how much I was paying in taxes. And so it left me with really always, when I graduated, I didn't have, besides a school debt, I didn't really have any debt, credit card or anything. But the first thing I started to do was really pile on debt little by little, and starts to creep up on you. And if you don't know how to manage it, you really can get yourself stuck in a position where you feel really trapped.
Yeah.
So I think that first and foremost is having an understanding of where you sit financially in terms of what your expenses are, and if you can reduce that at all, so that you can start freeing up some of your money and putting it into investments or towards investments. That I think is a really important step that would help as a starting point for a lot of folks.
So do sort of a personal financial audit, sort of go through your own personal finances and understand what you have currently, in terms of assets, what you have in terms of debt, and then where your money's coming from and where it's going, right?
And where it's going, exactly. I think one of the first platforms that I used that was able to help with this, it's called Mint, mm-hmm. and it's a company started by Intuit. And so this is the same company we do our taxes with. And what's really nice is that you can see all of your accounts in one place. And this way you can see everything that's coming in and everything that's going out in one single platform. And it'll start actually categorizing it for you. And you can set your own categories as well. So I know how much I'm spending during lunch because I go to the same places, and I'll keep track of how much I spend per month while I'm at the office.
Yeah, Mint is a great platform. I use Mint as well for my personal side. It's Intuit's the same company that does TurboTax and QuickBooks.
Exactly.
And, I don't know if they still have Quicken, but they used to have Quicken. That's where they started. But yeah, same company. And Mint has really, if you've used Mint in the past and thought, well, this is a little confusing and it's sort of clumsy, try it again, because it's come a long way in the last few years, and it's extremely automated. Like Henry said, that you can edit the categories and you can do a lot of customization, but really, if you just plug it into your accounts, it just that and the automation that it does will give you a tremendous amount of information about how you spend your money.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, one of the things that I like to always say, and this, I do this with the work as well at the office, is, you can't manage what you don't measure. Right. And so I'm constantly measuring, financially, I'm measuring how much I'm spending on certain categories. At the office, I'm measuring how much time I'm spending on drawings versus renderings and, DD sets versus, transitioning over into CD sets. And there's a constant measurement that I'm trying to keep track of just for efficiency purposes. And so I try to do the same thing with my finances.
So once you do this personal audit, and before we get any further along, Henry is not a financial advisor. He has no background on financial advisement. So he's not.
No, I'm not.
He's not. So I want to make sure everybody understands that we're just two architects here talking about money. And so I just wanted to put that out there. So nobody says, hey, Henry said, or Mark said.
I appreciate that.
We're going to check that box. So once we sort of do this personal audit, we know where our money's going and where it's coming from, and and we can start tracking it. And over time, you'll start seeing the patterns, which is really interesting in Mint. Mm-hmm. And we'll have links to all of this in the show notes, so you can go to show notes and find all links to all this stuff. But what do they do next once they sort of understand where it's coming from and where it's going?
Yeah, well, one simple rule that I've learned is that we should all be able to put a certain amount towards savings and towards investments. And that number usually seems to be around 10% of your salary pre-tax. So if you're making, let's say, $50,000, you should be putting away $5,000 per year towards investments. And that's just a personal goal. I've seen people. Mr. Money Mustache has a great blog, and he talks about
how
he
was able to. Say that again? It's Mr. Money Mustache?
Yeah, Mr. Money Mustache.
Okay. I've never heard that. I just wanted to make sure everybody else got that too.
Yeah, he has a great great blog, and he talks about finances and what he was able to do to reach financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And anyways, he was able to put away a lot more than that, and he was able to reach his financial freedom much sooner because of that. Mm-hmm. It's important to figure out where you want to put your money into investments. And there's many different options for that. You can do managed accounts, like mutual funds, or you can go straight into the stock market. And there's also options within that, including index funds, which are a little bit safer, I would say. And they're a little bit safer than, let's say, getting into a direct company share, like, let's say, Tesla or Google.
Right. Buying stocks directly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I this is more of me being able to track my process.
Yeah.
And I have been able to see that investing over time has had a significant return. And my assets now have grown quite a bit, and this is really just small quantities every month that I contribute, and over time they do pay back, as long as you make, you have to manage your risk. There's always going to be risk, so it's really just being able to manage those risks and learn a little bit about the companies that you're interested in and invest, you know.
Yeah.
You do have to take that jump.
Yeah. So I hear, from what you just said, I basically hear three steps. Do a personal audit, figure mm-hmm. out where the money's coming in, how it's coming in, where it's going. Then number two is put together a budget, right? This is how much you're going to spend on everything that you're going to spend on. And within that budget, you're going to take 10% of whatever you earn and put that aside for investing, right? And you could do that in an IRA or there's a bunch of different tax programs that sort of allow you to invest tax-free or tax-deferred. Again, we're not financial experts, so go talk to a financial expert about all that stuff. But
sure.
But sort of the idea here is to inspire you to understand your money, where it's coming from, where it's going, and then take a little bit of that and put it away for yourself before you go and spend the rest of it, right? So if you invest in yourself first, then it's going to happen. Because I've done that both ways. I've paid all my bills, I've made sure everything happens, and if there's anything left, then it'll go in the investment. Well, there's never anything left, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And we should be looking at this the other way around, which is pay yourself first and then go ahead and pay for everything else. And you'll find ways to do that. And I think that's a really important shift in your mindset and I think in your habits, is making sure that you take care of yourself so that, over time, the goal should be that you can start taking care of others, whether it's, well, now I can start a business and start hiring people and have employees and give other opportunities for people to work. So yeah, I think definitely pay yourself first. Don't always worry about everyone else and then, you know, give yourself whatever's left.
Yeah. You can, sure. You can make a much, have a much bigger impact on the world if you're financially comfortable. Because if you have all your bills paid and you have some money left over and then you have some money to do something with, now you can invest in other people. You can donate money to charities. You can support other people who are trying to come up and may need some money. It gives you the opportunity and the freedom to go beyond you know, the things you want to do. Because I think a lot of people sort of think the other way around. Okay, I'm going to spend my money and try to give away as much as I can and you know, not make a lot for myself. And then it sort of backfires because you're not financially healthy.
Right.
And that financial illness almost, because you don't have enough money, starts affecting your person, your physical well-being as well. And then you can't help anybody. Work. Yeah, it affects everything.
It also affects your work. So you can't be as creative as you want to be. So I think that, yeah, definitely taking care of yourself will allow for more, even more creativity to flow. So yeah, definitely important to take care of yourself. And I think that that's one thing that we're not doing enough of, is we take care of our clients before we take care of ourselves. And we need to start looking at that a little bit differently.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I agree. And I love that you're building this platform. You this Invest by Design, you're focusing on young architects. And I think it's important because a lot of us who have been in the profession for a while, we're feeling the pain in terms of finances. We need to sort of retroactively do a lot of this stuff. That's much harder to do when you have a family and a business and employees and taxes and all the other things that come along with being a more seasoned architect. If you do this from the beginning, right, when you have no real responsibilities or very few responsibilities as a young architect, maybe you're not married yet, maybe you haven't gotten your license and you haven't started a business yet, that's when you really want to start. You want to start when things are at the beginning. Because two things. One, you can, because you actually have the money to do it at that point. Mm-hmm. But two is that the sooner you start investing, the bigger that money gets at the end. So when you're 50, 60 years old, that $5,000 a year that you put away is now hundreds of thousands of dollars or more. And so I love that Invest by Design is really focused on, you know, getting the young architects to pay attention to this stuff early.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's something that also isn't really available for a lot of us is, you know, your interviews, really, a lot of the people I've noticed are people who have already been in the profession, started a business, and they've been in the profession for many years. And so for me, looking at that, I'm thinking 10, 20 years down the road. What about now, right? What can I do right now? And I think that that's where this platform is supposed to sort of bring forward some of those opportunities. And it should be also, I want it to be fun. I think that this has been really fun for me to learn more about finances and solving that problem without taking away time from my work, and taking away time from, you know, my quality of life. And I think that that's also one of the concerns that most people have is, well, I don't have time to learn about this. And I don't have time to always check on my account and figure out, is this the best decision? I think that definitely we should start just taking the first step. And if you fail, it's okay. Because it's you don't really fail if you learn, right? And so I think the idea is, if it's okay if you fall, it's okay if you lose some money, and broaden your ability over time to take on more risk, right? And eventually you will be able to, I hope, more and more architects will be able to take on their own projects and take advantage of the value that they add to the world and be compensated for it, right? And I think that there's a lot of wealth being built in real estate, and it's on the backs of architects. And if we can sort of shift that and take more of a ownership role, we will be able to take care of ourselves and our family and have a better quality, life.
Yeah. So is that your plan for the future? I mean, because I want to sort of go to the future in two directions. One, what is your personal future? Because Invest by Design is a journey platform at this point, right? Yes. It's you're documenting your journey from where you are to where you're going to go, right?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. as that grows, it'll become more of an expert platform. But right now, it's sort of documenting your journey. So what's your journey in the future look like? What's your plan?
I'm continuing to invest small portions, but that have now started to really feel like it's a lot bigger, and I can now start talking more seriously about investing in real estate. And so my goal would be to, my goals are usually trying to follow someone or model someone who's doing what I want to do eventually. Mm-hmm. One of those people is Jonathan Siegel.
Yeah.
I think he for me was one of the architects that really changed my mindset in terms of real estate and development. And I would like to be able to get to that point where I can start developing projects on my own, and if I think something should be, then it is, and I'd like to be able to build a team with other architects, other designers, and include some financial advisors as well, to make smarter decisions and really be able to grow a company where people enjoy the work, and have the freedom and flexibility that we really deserve, for what we add to the world, because we are adding a lot of value.
Yeah, totally agree. And I'm excited to watch you grow. Right now, Invest by Design is your Twitter. You don't have an Invest by Design website yet, right?
I don't. I don't yet. I do have something that I'm working on to get started. It'll be more of a blog format, but I don't have anything live yet.
Yeah, I knew you were early, and when I invited you on, I knew you were early. And one of the reasons I did is because I'm excited about this idea, and I wanted to hold you accountable to do this.
I appreciate that.
Because I just a little bit of back and forth on Twitter I had with you. I sensed that this is definitely something that's needed. This platform is needed for the entire profession, but especially young architects. That to focus on that early is so important, because when you're 50 years old, your world is different. Everything is different. And so if you start early, you'll be more successful when you're 50. And beyond. And so by having you on here, I can say, for one, I had Henry on when he first started. And now look at him. And two, I wanted to inspire other people to sort of follow their dreams, to follow if you have an idea for a platform, build it. There are infinite ways to get your message out. And Henry is getting his message out right now on Twitter. It's going to grow into a online platform, and I'm excited about it. And so as you grow, Henry, and you want to get some of the word out about what you're doing and how you're doing it, definitely hit me up, because I'm going to help you grow it any way I can, because
I appreciate that.
I'm inspired by what you're doing, and I hope that you can inspire thousands more to do it as well.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that.
So before we wrap up here, I want to ask you the one question that I ask everybody. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's a great question. And one of the things that I've been doing recently is having the conversation with different architects of small businesses and asking how well they're doing and what are some of their challenges. I think that it's important to ask if you have staff to ask them how they're doing. What's their quality of life like? What are some of their challenges? What are some of their problems? Because it's really important to have a very healthy team. And I think a healthy team will allow for a more successful business and something that people would be proud of over time. And I think that being able to listen to your staff, understand them, get to know them, ask them how they're doing is really important. And hopefully if people believe in investing, in their future and in themselves is trying to figure out ways within their team that they can invest in themselves, whether it's an education or going to conferences or, anything that interests, the people in that office to make things just a little bit better, because we're spending so much time, every day in our spaces, in our office. I think making it a little bit more pleasing for everyone would go a long way.
I agree. Yeah. On the website is hddesignlab.com. On Twitter, it's investbydesign @investbydesign. Go check them out. Go tweet them a thank you. And encourage them to keep growing this thing because it's an important thing. Also on LinkedIn, you can find them at Henry Dominguez. Henry, thank you for joining me here today and sharing your knowledge on Entree Architect Podcast.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
This is episode 227. What's your job? Your job is to share this episode with a friend. EntreeArchitect.com/episode227. My job is to interview these great people and hear their stories and share their stories, their expertise, their knowledge with you so you can build better businesses. That's my job. Your job is to spread the word because I can't do this by myself. Your job is to share this link, EntreeArchitect.com/episode227. That's all I ask. Share it with a friend, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram, send it by email, tell your friend, word of mouth, do it. And tag me if you're on social media and you're doing this, tag me so I can thank you. EntreeArchitect.com/episode227. Go, do it now. Hey, and learn how to earn that elusive 20% profit that you should be earning every year. We can show you how. Download our free course today at EntreeArchitect.com/free course. You'll love it. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glenn Gary. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.